You talk about prayer. And I have to say that the person I have chosen to be my practitioner and have regular meetings with a couple of times a month for 22 years now is Reverend Maria Shamaya Clemente. And when I met Reverend Maria, she moved my heart and she spoke to my soul. Reverend Maria is a mystic. She's a comic. She has a great sense of humor. She has a loving spirit. And she is the first person I talk to when I lose my connection to source and I need to be reminded how to get back up on the horse and do what it is that I do. And sometimes there are moments when life is harder than others when I lose it. And Reverend Maria reminds me every single time who I truly am. And after 22 years, she knows me well and she knows how to help. But she did right from the start. So to listen to someone talk about prayer, the person I want to listen to is Reverend Maria Shamaya Clemente. And I am thrilled to introduce Reverend Maria to our community and our community to Reverend Maria today. Here you go, Maria.
See, there's Maria. Okay, everybody, that's the end of the talk. You all did well. Thank you very much. Connie said I was a comic and she wasn't kidding. So, all right. Someone asked about my name. I heard that. Who asked about my name?
I did. Haley. Now I'm happy.
Okay. Shamaya is from the Aramaic. It's from the first line of Aramaic. Awun Dushmeya Nikadishma, which is the first line of the Lord's Prayer. And Shamaya is the consciousness of heaven. How's that? Was that worth hanging out and waiting through all the static for right there? I'll tell you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. So Connie, that was a beautiful introduction. Thank you, Connie. Connie was asking me about prayer and the topic of prayer and how it evolves, how it works. And I have to tell you that for those of us that have been in Science of Mind for lifetimes or decades or for however long you've been in Science of Mind, one of the things that I always really appreciate about Science of Mind is that there's always somewhere else to go. There's always a deeper consciousness to realize. There's always a higher understanding to embrace. There's always a greater truth to evolve into. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, I know his brother, Ernest. Brother Ernest has said that our understanding of God evolves as we evolve, and our understanding of prayer evolves as we evolve as well. And I like to think that our understanding of prayer moves through many different forms of consciousness as we go along. And as we evolve, it evolves. So as we move along, I have a cat jumping around at my feet. This is what happens when you work at home. Perhaps when we first begin in Science of Mind, in that beginning place, if you can remember the place of beginning the journey, whether that was last week or that was 40 years ago, the place of beginning the journey, our understanding of prayer may have been that our prayer confirmed our belief in nothingness. That we believe that where we were, as unhappy as we were, as miserable as we were, as broke as we were, we felt like we were stuck, we were doomed, that was all there was going to be. And in a sense, that consciousness that we put on the universe was our prayer, confirming our belief in this nothingness. And the universe does as it always does, it responds with a perfect echo. But there comes a point on our spiritual journey where we reach that point of awakening, that moment of awakening. And that moment of awakening comes sometimes slowly. Sometimes we start to wonder, is there more to life than this? That point of awakening may come drastically if we've hit a rock bottom and we don't know any other way out and push comes to shove, it's time to move along. And there's an entire spectrum of other ways that we wake up. But in that moment, we wake up what Ernest calls in The Voice Celestial as the wayfarer goes on his journey, that moment of becoming unchained from slavery to the day, a literal unchaining. There's a loosening of the burdens that weigh us down and that which binds us. And there's a waking up that comes within all of us at some point, whether we are pushed by pain or, as Connie would say, pulled by a vision. Our awakening comes to us as the wayfarer, again, from The Voice Celestial in the Beginning, which, by the way, is my favorite Ernest Holmes book. And for those that have their favorite Ernest Holmes book, this one, along with my Science of Mind textbook, is held together by many pieces of ribbon and rubber band so that the pages don't fall all over. And in the first chapter, this wayfarer, which represents you and I, goes on the spiritual journey of awakening. And in that moment when the wayfarer literally wakes up and realizes there's got to be more to life than this, and this is where his prayerful journey really starts to evolve, he says the famous line that perhaps many of you have said at some point along the line, I want to know what I myself can know. I want to know what I myself can know. I crave to know the meaning of great words. I ask that life may be defined, and what is love? Perchance I too can grasp a key that opens the door and for myself unveil the mysteries. Remember that moment when your great prayer that you put out into the universe was, I want to know what I myself can know. And as I went on that journey of waking up and wanting to know what I myself could know, I was in California, the land of fruits, nuts, and flakes, and it is the perfect place to begin a spiritual journey. And I was in Los Angeles, which at the time was a strong vortex for spirituality, for new thought, for metaphysics, for science of mind. And I began to do this deep spiritual work. And my prayer of wanting to know what I myself could know began, as for many of us in the beginning, was the prayer was simply that, could there be hope? Could there be more? Do I dare to hope? And my prayer becomes about hope. And our work then becomes to fix the broken places that we find within us. And our prayer is just simply oftentimes to get out of those broken places. You know, but as the song says, God bless the broken road that leads me straight to you, that leads me straight to spirit. Now, as I start to go down that journey of wanting to fix those broken places in me with all of these amazing spiritual teachers that I have and doing this inner child work, that my prayer keeps helping me to move through this sense of stuckness and brokenness into something greater. It's like I keep chipping away at a rock and knowing that there's going to be some translucent light when I finally let go of that sledgehammer. And so this is the prayer that I call the conditional prayer that we also begin with, is that we're using our prayer to overcome conditions and to fix things. We want to fix our broke behinds. We want to fix the relationships that are painful. We want to fix the health that ails our body. We want to fix the conditions that seem to limit us. But as always, there is a prayer beyond a conditional prayer. And I first embarked on the life beyond that first conditional prayer when I was meditating one morning, and I had been doing, as I said, all this inner child work, and I had been wanting to fix all these broken places, and there was this light. And in that light, this one question came to my mind, and it became the next heart's desire of my journey. And the question I asked myself was, what if I'm not broken? What if there's nothing that needs to be fixed? What if we're not broken? What if there's really nothing wrong? And it shifted my whole prayer work and my whole outlook on science of mind and on my spirituality, that I wanted to reach for something more, because there had to be life beyond that condition. And now I had seen a glimpse of what could be, and that hope came fully alive. And our prayer work, and the only word I can think of is that it's inflamed. Our prayer work is inflamed. We are on fire. We are ready to go, because we have caught a glimpse of something so extraordinary beyond what have been our conditions on this earth, beyond the stories that we've been told, beyond the life that we've led. There's something fantastic awaiting us. And so at that point, I did, as many of us have done, dive deep into spiritual mind treatment and become a good student of that, and let that be the next evolution of prayer. And as we begin spiritual mind treatment, that first step of recognition, recognizing that one life, whether we call it God or spirit, higher intelligence, infinite intelligence, higher mind, love, Jesus, Buddha, it doesn't matter. That as we settle into that space of recognizing this vast something and deepening our relationship with that, then it also becomes our joy, our practice, our next prayerful moment to move into step two, which is unification and realizing that I am the place where God lives. I am the place where God lives and moves and has its being. And that is an awesome waking up moment to realize that I am that one life. That one life prayer is the one that I turn to for decades, time and time again. If I just need that quick moment of recognition, there is just one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. 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 It's not simply a sentence. It's an entire another way of viewing life. It's a whole nother state of being. It's an exquisite catch in consciousness. You catch that. And when you catch that truth, your whole life shifts, changes, evolves, deepens, grows. And our prayer becomes showing up day by day, moment by moment, as that one life. And just when you think, okay, I am that one life, I've moved beyond all the wants of my inner child, you know, pizza, ice cream, which my inner child still likes, but into that one life of God, which says, the way that I see the world, the way I show up in the world, is the way the world transforms. So everything that I see transforms, and I transform everything I see. So my prayer is to show up, to be of service to that one life. And there is a moving beyond this physical being into a greater understanding of the interconnectedness of all of us. And the vibration that I lay out in the world, the way I am. And that takes us into that great beyond. And that beyond is that place in consciousness that says, keep going. It's the beloved, as Connie knows, calling us to keep moving on. And my other favorite piece by Ernest is the Sermon by the Sea. His last great talk in August of 1959. I get to share this with you because my other place has heard me say it so many times, but you haven't heard me say it, so it's new. So I like to think of the trifecta of the end of Ernest's life, the Whittier Church, dedication and his white light experience in February of 59. His writing and sharing of the Voice Celestial and all of his life's wisdom that was published in 59. And then in August of 59, as he stood up in that pulpit at a Sylamar Conference Center and gave us that final sermon by the sea, I call this trifecta his Elvis is leaving the building moment. And Ernest shows us that the next great transition, the next great moment is not a one-time thing, that great beyond calls us. And he slowly lets go until April of that next year, 1960, when he's physically released his form and moved into the great beyond. But if you've ever heard that transcendent wisdom of him at the end of his life, and you know that he's witnessed that light, and he's touched the veil, and he knows that it's thin between. He shares with us this evolving prayer that comes from deep within his soul, so deep from within him. And it's the end of the Sermon by the Sea, and it's what I call the charge, where he leaves us these final words as he's leaving the building. And he's putting it all in his hand, and he lets us know, I am not religious science, you are religious science. And he goes into this wonderful charge for all of us. And it's something that you've talked about before, the banquet hall of heaven. And at the end, his prayer, the beauty of his mystic soul, the place that we go in prayer as we evolve. And he lets us know, he reminds us, that there is a power transcendent beyond our needs and our little wants. Now, demonstrating a dime is good if one needs it, or healing oneself of a pain is certainly good if one has it. But beyond that, at the real feast, at the tabernacle of the Almighty, in the temple of the living God, in the banquet hall of heaven, there is something beyond anything that you and I have ever touched. There is something beyond anything that you and I have ever touched. That's the evolution of prayer into that mystical state of knowing, that great beyond. Ernest was not the only one who knew it. If you do any work with the Buddhists, I love the Buddhist chant. And one of my favorite chants is Gate Gate. Gate Gate is beyond, beyond. Para Gate, gone beyond. Para Sam Gate, gone far beyond. And if you're ever on the Beltway and you're stuck, you just keep going, Gate Gate, beyond, beyond, until the traffic starts to move. If you're ever stuck anywhere in your life, and there are sometimes I just shake my head and I go, oh, Para Sam Gate, I've gone so far beyond this, just moving beyond. But there's a sense of moving into that transcendent nature of reality with a capital R. And Jesus the Christ also mentioned that to us when he let us know that there is that place beyond. Because in this world you will have trials and tribulations, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. And we are not overcoming the world by resisting it, by pushing against it, by denying it. We are overcoming the world. We are going beyond by seeing through into the translucent, transparent nature of reality, into that sparkling nature of the divine. And as we evolve in prayer into that place where we see through to that sparkling nature of reality, we learn one thing from science, which is the perfect merging of science and mysticism, is that we tend to think that it's inert matter that holds together the universe. And really what it is the impulse of love. That's what holds the nature of reality together. That's what binds ourselves together. That's what binds us in a collective knowing. heart to heart, soul to soul, mind to mind. It is the impulse of love. And we realize then that the journey has actually come full circle, because it is that impulse of love that began us on this prayerful path, isn't it? It's the impulse of love which called us from the very beginning and said, come, come. And I love acronyms. And when Spirit makes that call to us, I think of the word change. And the acronym I always think of is Spirit's call to us. Change. C-H-A-N-G-E. Come. Have a new growth experience. And so that call from Spirit, come. Have a new growth experience. It's the impulse of love, which calls us into the greatest state of being through and then ultimately beyond all conditions, circumstances, and experiences, until we finally touch the transcendent nature of reality that resides within us and all around us. And when we do, when we follow that call of love, when we heed that impulse, then if we're very quiet and we listen, we can hear Spirit saying to us, oh, my beloved, welcome home. That is the nature of prayer. That is how it works. I am grateful to be on this prayer path with you. And so I offer for all of you blessings of this day. And I say to you, namaste.
Thank you.
Namaste, Maria. What a beautiful talk. You made us laugh and you moved us and you inspired us and you helped us see the transcendent. Just exquisite. Anybody else want to share in this moment what you're feeling before we take our break?
Just amazingly done. A lot that I loved, the change acronym, I love that. And I love the Buddhist chants as well. My mom did a few of those as I was growing up, so that hit home and was lovely. And thank you.
Thanks. Kaylee.
I was amazed by how well you spoke about prayer. In the beginning, you talked about some of us found prayer initially through pain. And that's what happened with me. And then I just stayed until the miracle happened. But thank you. I really enjoyed listening to you. Thank you very much.
And I thank you, Bob. I would love to. I'm in that space where I'm reminded that it's we are all right. What if nothing is wrong with us? Well, something similar to that you said, but I held on to that. What if nothing is wrong? How am I to be? And that's what I'm taking away today. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all. And I know it's been a few years since I've been here with all of you. And I remember that the last time I spoke, when Connie opened it up, I always remember David saying to me, you took me there. It was such a David thing to say. He goes, you took me there. And he looked around the room and goes, you took us all there. And he goes, and I thank you. So that's always a wonderful reminder. And so thank you all for your love and being with me on this journey. You took me there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You took me there.